Keeping your IT team sharp isn't optional. It's essential. CBT Nuggets delivers high-quality IT training led by real-world experts who know what teams actually need on systems teams will actually use. Whether it's staying current on cloud, networking, or security, CBT Nuggets makes training simple, effective, and scalable. No fluff, no wasted time, just smarter, faster IT teams. Thousands of companies trust CBT Nuggets, and yours can too. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and start training today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. We're looking at one small piece of territory on the planet, Essequibo River, and the territory is about 62,000 square miles, triple canopy jungle, lush as you can imagine in a Graham Greene novel, and a tiny state, less than 800,000 people, many of whom are in the diaspora in New York City, Brooklyn, I'm told. But the Guyanese are the lucky winners of planet Earth. They have 11 billion discoverable barrels of oil offshore a region called Essequibo. However, Venezuela, the large and rogue state to the north, is now claiming again the same territory. That is the dispute, but how does it connect to the two wars in Europe and a third war threatened? Professor, I make the detail here that Brazil is worried. Brazilian Foreign Minister Maura Vieira, speaking to Reuters in Rio within these last hours, dismissed the risk of an armed clash between Brazil's two neighbors. However, Brazilian military has reinforced the border region. That doesn't sound like a dismissal. That sounds like a possibility. And at the same time, we have non-transparency in Caracas, but the last time I checked, Hezbollah was suspect. Tehran was suspect. Moscow, certainly with the equipment. Beijing, always ready to exploit a possibility, such as a discovery of oil. So Venezuela moves inside a general understanding that the U.S. and its allies are tied down in Europe. Now, I'm being suspicious only because history says annexations are never isolated incidents. They always connect to other events. Is this possible that Maduro, in his bluff, is making his move now because he senses weakness in the U.S., in NATO, in other countries in the region not ready for a third conflict?
It is certainly possible, John, and to several of your very important points. Number one, it's the politics of Maduro pressing this claim now. It's a bit of an embarrassment for the Lula regime in Brazil and Mario Vieira and Celso Amorim, since Lula has, as well as others such as Gustavo Petro in Colombia, really have embraced kind of bringing Maduro as an outlaw regime back into the fold. And now you have this embarrassing incident. And so you saw Vieira, on the one hand, is saying, well, we don't see it's any problem. And yet at the same time, the Brazilian military, for precautionary reasons, you know, moving forces into Roraima State and in the border just to make sure that nothing happens. The other interesting thing is, if you look at the maps, the old Simon Bolivar area maps that are shown by Maduro on his television program, the maps actually not only show Venezuela claiming Guyana's territory, but actually Venezuela's claim to part of Colombian territory, something that my Colombian colleagues instantly have noticed. But more broadly, as you point out, on the one hand, you have a number of different actors internationally who benefit from this, and Maduro may be taking that calculation that this is, if nothing else, a good time to move. And so certainly with, as you alluded, the United States tied up not only in the Ukraine and with an eye on China, but now increasingly in the Middle East with respect to Gaza, you have a moment when Maduro may be calculating that the United States wants to do everything possible to avoid yet another conflict that would divert yet farther military resources away. That may be something that also Russia and Iran have an interest in animating Maduro to move at this point, since certainly Russia having to fight Ukraine would benefit from that additional distraction. Iran, who actually has co-developed weapons such as drones with the Venezuelans, would benefit from that. And indeed, Iran, who is uh, again, behind Hamas and Hezbollah and Gaza and Lebanon, maybe looking to the prospect of an expanded war against the United States in the Middle East, and calculating that a front in Venezuela against the United States, where there is this Iranian collaboration. Indeed, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi recently visited Venezuela as well as Cuba and Nicaragua. That strategically would benefit Iran without knowing whether they're entirely behind this. But also the other broader context is that Maduro is probably riding high on his gamble that seems to have paid off in dealing with the United States, where effectively Maduro, in the interest of our trying to bring him to the table on elections, secured a lifting broadly of oil sanctions with a number of 6 months general licenses that will go well into next year, which have freed Chevron, which have freed Repsol and Eni and others to start buying Venezuelan oil, which has begun to pour more money into the Venezuelan economy. New contracts are going out in Venezuela now. And at the same time, Maduro has given almost none of the things that he promised to give up. He has not freed U.S. hostages. In matter of fact, he's actually taken additional U.S. hostages. He has not recognized the prime election and Maria Corina Machado's candidate. And so in many ways, the U.S. has basically blinked. They had said, okay, if Maduro doesn't do what he promised by November 30th, then we will reimpose sanctions. November 30th came and gone. Maduro made a token move and the U.S. said, okay, we're still looking at this. And so in many ways, Maduro may be also calculating that, he seems to have won that bluff, gotten away, in these negotiations over the electoral system. And so it may be not only having additional resources to take these provocative actions, but also emboldened politically in his dealings with the Biden administration to see how far he can now push us in this bluff or in this possible non-bluff on Esquivel.
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. There are troubles in the rest of the Americas, so we turn away, but we've certainly flagged Guyana as an incident that suggests momentarily another Little Green Men exercise. We'll see in coming days and weeks. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.